Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the sweet spirit that you provide for us here in this place. We thank you for this day. So we pause now at the end of this special day. Many of us have had the privilege for a number of hours to be together in this place. And we started this morning early. Here we are, Lord, we finished the day with you. It's been good for us to have time with our families. It's been good for us to have the chance, if we can, to rest and also to hear and think about your word and to evaluate our own responsibilities. So, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that takes the word of God and places it in each of our hearts and minds in a customized way, in a way that we otherwise would not understand. And so, Lord, tonight we ask for the next few moments to have some focus and some ability to remove, if you'll help us, the distractions of what's coming this next week, what's tomorrow, what's in a month, what's coming at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, and all those times ahead of us that we assume that we will have, and help us just to think about finishing the day and honoring Jesus with our day. So, Lord, as we come to this evening time, we come to this evening opportunity to open your word, we pray that you might forgive us of our sins if we have lived in such a way today, even today, said things, gone places, done things we should not have done as followers of Jesus. And if we have sinned against you, we confess our sin. We pray that as a church, you've been pleased with what we've done, Lord Jesus. You are the head of this church. You are the preeminent one. And if you are pleased with us, we hope you will be pleased with us and what we seek to do here. If not, we pray that you would show us by the Holy Spirit what you would have us do as a church that would cause us to be in your will and accomplish your purposes for these days before Jesus comes. We thank you for our spiritual father, Peter, the apostle, who has written these words many, many years ago. And even today, here we are in the 21st century reading these words from the first century. But they are the very words of God. They're not Peter's words, they're your words for us. Thank you for our teachers. We thank you for those who are with our boys and girls in choir. We thank you for all the disciple life leaders in our church, the Sunday school teachers, those who labor to teach the Word of God. And we thank you for the chance that we have to do all of this together during these days. And we're grateful for all that you do that we might have life, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for setting us free in Jesus. So, Lord, open the Word of God now, and may we have an understanding by the help of the Holy Spirit, and enlighten our minds, and may the phrases and the words that we read in your Word tonight stick in our minds so that we might think about them and grow in our own relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to focus on really only one verse tonight, verse number 14. However, in order to get to verse 14, I want us to go back and read the previous paragraph, which starts in chapter 3, verse number 3. For in this chapter, we're being reminded by Peter of the coming day of the Lord. And so we read 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's just again notice what Peter has to say. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice, that is the mockers, it escapes their notice, that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice. So notice in verse 3, know this first of all. Mockers come in the last days, but now Peter is focusing us as followers of Jesus. Don't let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And then we come now to verse 10. We looked at this last week, and we'll then settle in on verse 14. But the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, here's our conclusion for tonight. Here's what we'll focus on, these few words in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. I want you to notice the things that followers of Jesus are looking for in the last days. Notice in verse number 12, looking for the coming day of God. So we're reminded tonight that the coming day of God has two parts, a wonderful part and a terrible part. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's coming has both elements of judgment and destruction of all of the created order by fire. And then the day of the Lord ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. So we're looking for something that's coming. And the New American Standard in verse 12 reads, looking for and hastening. The idea is anticipating. This is coming. By the way, we're one day closer to that day than we were yesterday. Did you know that? We're one day closer. So it's a day coming. And so this day we look for, we are looking for the day of the Lord, first of all. And so we must remember that in all of our conversations, in all of our business and all of our activities and all the things we do in our family and all the things we're caught up in, church, we have to remember that the most important event, the thing we look for the most, the thing we make a note about and keep in our minds, we are looking, the verb is a present tense verb, verse 12, looking for and anticipating. That's the idea. Looking for and anticipating, not Christmas, not a birthday, not somebody coming back to the house, but the day of the Lord. We are anticipating and looking for it. So Peter spends an enormous amount of time, a lot of verses, talking about the day of the Lord. He doesn't give the details. You know, all Jesus continually was asked, so when's it going to happen? When's this going to all take place? And what's going to go on? And all through Christian history, and many teachers have been caught up in the same thing, worrying about the details when Jesus reminds us, it's the way you get ready for the day. It's not the details, it's the day. Looking forward. So tomorrow we go to work, looking forward and anticipating the day of the Lord. Could be. Could be. Could be tonight. We wait, we look, and we prepare by living in holiness. Verse 11. Since we know all these things are going to be destroyed, we ought to be living in holy conduct and godliness. So as we've seen before, our responsibility is to look and anticipate the coming day of Jesus, His coming again, as we sing about, even so come the Lord, come Lord Jesus, but we also are to be living a certain way. That's the second thing. We look for a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, I wish that, I wish we knew more about the new heaven and the new earth. I don't know what we'll do there, but it seems like the Lord was pretty creative in the first creation, wasn't He? Pretty creative. The Lord thought up some really good things for us to do in the first creation. We've been blessed in the first creation, have we not? Amen. I mean, we're blessed people. So if whatever the Lord, whatever the other will be, it will be wonderful, will it not? So we look for something new. We don't keep trying to take the old and make it new. Finally, what does the psalmist say? The old earth will be rolled up like an old garment and put away. Finally wears out. This old earth, this old world, this old creation. Finally, not a water judgment, but a fiery judgment that destroys it all. We look for the day of the Lord. We live in holiness, looking for and anticipating the day of the Lord. And then we come to this very important verse, number 3. This is where I want to spend my time. We make every effort, number 3, go to that next slide, Lori. We make every effort to be ready when Jesus comes. Now, I've put my words here very carefully. We make every effort to be ready when Jesus comes and looks at us. Now, you may not have caught that in verse 14. Have you ever played hide and go seek? How many of you have ever played hide and go seek? Of course you have. And you try to hide so that they can't find you, right? When the day of the Lord comes, Jesus is going to find you. Where is Jesus going to find you? Where will He find you? Or better yet, I see you is a better way to describe it. Read the verse carefully. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, here's the second time He's talking about looking. We look for a new heaven, a new earth. We look for the coming of the day of the Lord. Since you're looking for these things, because God promised them. Listen, be diligent. Here's the phrase. Here's the sentence for tonight. Be diligent to be found, hide and go seek, found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Now let me read it a different way. It better reads, it's hard to translate it this way in English, but this is the way it reads in the Greek language. It is the idea, be diligent to be spotless and blameless. Listen. Examined by Him in peace. So when Jesus comes, how will He find you and how will He find me? No more hiding. No more hiding. No more of us who followed Jesus, but we've gone far away from God, we've drifted off into other things, and in our shame, we're hiding. No, we can't. We can't hide anymore. We will be found by Jesus. We will be found by Him. Well, I want you to consider two ways. So when He comes, He sees us. He sees us as we are. He sees us in the way we think. He sees us in the way we behave. He sees us in our relationship with Him. If I say that I walk with God, I follow Jesus, I pray. Well, if I say I pray, the Lord's going to know. Well, I don't know if you pray or not. How's the Lord going to find us? This is what we want to think about. And we want to do this with a word that's a favorite word of Peter's. Notice what he says in verse number 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, along with looking for the day of the Lord, oh, here's a great, great word, be diligent. Now, diligence is a word we don't always use, so that's why I changed this to make every effort. Make it your effort. Work at being ready to be found by Jesus. So let's go back in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at the first occasion where Peter uses the word diligence, verse 5. We saw a whole string of things. Did you know that when you are being diligent and waiting for the Lord, you add to your faith? Did you know that? Yeah. You supplement your faith. Some of us in this room are old as dirt, and we have to take vitamin supplements, don't we? We're just trying to supplement whatever we got to make it go another day. We supplement it. Did you know? Peter says, you supplement your faith. This is his way of describing what Paul said about working out your own salvation, working with the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. You know, the Lord saves us, but he also gives us a responsibility to work with the Holy Spirit. That's why we go to Disciple Life, some of you in Master Life. Boy, Potts is making you groan over there, isn't he? I mean, you're wearing them down, preacher. You have worked them over, having to memorize the Bible, do all of these verses. What in the world have I gotten myself into? Be diligent. This is how you learn to be diligent. Now follow. Now for this very reason, apply all diligence, make every effort, work at it in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and at the top step, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. He says it again. This is the second time he uses the word diligence, Peter. To make certain about your calling and your choosing. In other words, make sure you know you're born again. Make sure you know you're one of God's children. As long as you practice these things. What are they, Pastor Mike? What do I practice? I practice adding to my faith moral excellence and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. As you practice these things, you won't stumble into heaven is the idea here. For in this way, if you practice these things, you will never stumble. But in this way, the entrance into eternal life will be abundantly supplied to you. It's a great, beautiful picture of not stumbling into heaven, but wonderfully walking into heaven. You see, we practice these things, and one day we die and step right into eternal life in a whole new dimension. That's the amazing thing. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. If you know Jesus and you're born again, you'll never die, even if you die. Do you believe that? That's what Jesus said. Even if you die, you will live. So, we have to practice diligence in this time in which we live. What is it that we want to do? We can be so distracted. We can become like the we study the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights half the year. So we've looked at the book of Proverbs, a number of us, for all these years. And one of the best examples of the opposite, one of the best characters in the Proverbs for the opposite of diligence. And diligence is a big, big principle in the book of Proverbs. Being diligent is our good friend, the sluggard. You know the sluggard? Sure you do. The sluggard, you know, he's so weary, he can't even take his hand and take it and put it in his dish to get some food and get it to his mouth. He's just so tired. You know the sluggard. His fields are not taken care of and the walls are falling down. You know the sluggard. He cannot, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed or couch. You know the sluggard. There's a lion in the street. I can't go out there. An excuse maker. But we who are waiting for the coming of Jesus, we're the diligent ones. We're those who show effort. We join the Holy Spirit in asking the Lord to help us become more like Jesus. So the third time Peter says, "Beloved, I say to you as your pastor, since you look for these things, be diligent." So I want to ask you two questions tonight about these last words. Number one, now this is important. Will Jesus find you and me when he finds you, when he comes? Number one, will he find you in right relationship with other people? Will he find you? What kind of relationship have you sought to have with every person? I'm not saying that every relationship is going to be perfect. What Paul tell us? As best you can, be at peace with all people. You do the best you can to be at peace with all people. It's not always possible. But it's still our obligation to do what we can to be at peace. Remember what Jesus said? Make peace with your enemies while you're on the way. Before you get to the courthouse. Do what you can to make things right. Restore the relationships you can. All right, number one, will Jesus find you? When he finds you, when he finds me, will he find me in right relationship with others? These are the two words that he gives in verse number 14. Spotless and blameless. We got a new car wash down here. What's that called? The wheel, rolling wheels? What's that called? Pat's favorite place to go. She can go down there and eat hot dogs and do everything down there. What's the name of that place? Spotless, what's that car wash? What's it called down there on the corner? Wash and roll. Wash and roll. I'm not giving them an endorsement. The point is, man, that your car will be spotless when you go through the wash and roll. Spotless. Actually, the word means irreproachable. When someone talks about you, they can't reproach you. Even if they want to, they can't. Because your relationships, though they don't always appreciate you, though they may not like you, see, this is what happened. It's interesting. In the early church, when the early church was following Jesus, they had a good reputation with the community, even though not all in the Jewish community there in the book of Acts believed on Jesus. But they had a good reputation. Their reputation was right. Spotless. Pastor Mike, you know, I'm still a sinner. I'm not going to be spotless. But again, we make an effort to do what we can to do what Peter's saying here. Be diligent to be spotless. Second, to be blameless. Spotless and blameless. Blamelessness is the idea of being free from fault. Blameless. You're not at fault. You've done everything you can to remove your part, your fault, in any relationship that's not what it ought to be. We saw this in Philippians chapter 2, 15 and 16, when we were looking, not this week, but last week, at sacred trust. Listen to what Paul says. I'm going to read it to you again. Philippians 2, beginning in 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? If I don't dispute and grumble and mumble and carry on, it helps me not be a person of fault, a person who's spotless. There's something to be said about remaining silent and trusting God instead of grumbling and complaining, so that you prove yourselves to be, here's Paul's words, same description, blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So when you go to work, do your fellow workers say, you're without fault? It's not your fault. You are living your life. When Jesus comes, will he find me, Pastor Mike, living in right relationships with others, spotless and blameless? Second, will Jesus find me in right relationship with him? Notice how he ends this. Therefore, beloved, back in verse 14, beloved, since you look for these things, listen, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Peace. It's what the world wants. All the nations meet to have peace. Everyone talks about peace. We know that peace only comes when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. May I read it to you? It's a famous verse. Many of us have memorized it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And most of us in this room are experienced enough hearing preaching and teaching. We know there is the peace that comes of being peace at peace with God and the peace of God. Jesus said, I give you my peace. But we're talking tonight about the peace. The war's over. You're reconciled to God. You are in a right relationship with him. You are at peace with God. Will Jesus find us in a right relationship with him? I want to read to you as I'm finishing 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, and I'd like for you to look at it as we think about this. So back in Peter's first letter, he says this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says that we are going to obtain an inheritance, verse 4, that's imperishable and undefiled and will never fade away, and it's reserved in heaven. We aren't there yet, but it's waiting for you when you get there. Is that not unbelievable and good news, ladies and gentlemen? You are protected in the meantime, in this world. You are protected, verse 5, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. Talking about the coming of Jesus in the last times. And look at this. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, here it is, it's the phrase we don't like, for a little while. Didn't you hate that when you were growing up, when your parents used to say, in a little while we'll do that? Not now, in a little while. Not now, in a little while. Lord, why don't you? Not now. Lord, why do I have to go through this pain? Not now, in a little while. Why won't you answer this prayer? Why won't you do? Not now, but a little while. Now look, I'm trying to make a point. We greatly rejoice in the salvation that's coming and Jesus is coming, but now we're in this little while. And it is so frustrating because in this little while, oh, here it is, you have been distressed by various trials. I'm looking around this room. We've all been together long enough. I've been your pastor. We could all talk about the various trials that are happening across this room and all through our church. You've been distressed in the little while by various trials. But here's what I wanted you to see. Why? Look at verse 7. So that your the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, even which is imperishable, even though tested by fire, your faith, listen, verse 7, will be found to result in praise and glory and honor when? When Jesus is revealed on the day of the Lord. Oh, it's all tied together, ladies and gentlemen. Church, it's all tied together. So back to the verse. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, new heaven, new earth, the day of the Lord and the judgment of God, listen, church, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for Peter, who himself understood what it meant to fail Jesus, to disobey Jesus. But Lord, you restored and forgave Peter, and you can do the same for us. But Lord, help us to also learn Peter repented deeply. So Lord, we pray that tonight you would find us individually and find us as a church. First Baptist Church, Lord, we 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. You're not bound by time like we are. We wonder what day. But you are above time. And when it is the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will come. Though the mockers make fun and ridicule, we wait. And we pray and we sing. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So Lord, help us to be diligent. When you find us in the midst of this mess at your coming, that our relationships will be what they ought to be, honoring to Jesus. We are living in holiness as you are, Lord Jesus, like you as best we can. And that we're at peace. We're at peace with you. Reconciled, restored, and in a right relationship with you, Lord. That's what we pray. All right, with our heads bowed. So perhaps tonight, is there a question for some of you?